Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here we go with intern Namdi and his long-awaited NBA draft preview. Can we get some trumpets and some fanfare, please, to welcome Namdi into the studio? And again, we want to make sure to let everyone know who you are and who you represent. Please give your full name to the listening audience, Namdi.
I'm Namdi Onyenike.
What's your middle name?
Patrick James.
Patrick James?
Patrick James.
When you get in trouble.
Is James your confirmation name?
It's not.
Moses. When Moses.
Patrick James Moses.
When you get in trouble, would your mom say, Namdi Patrick James, put that thing down or something like that? Or no?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
All right, there we go.
I'm repping St. Pius X and yes. The University of Kansas.
Yes.
And you are, and also the National Golf Course.
In the National Golf Course, of course. I'll be there tonight.
Has your internship and appearances on 810 increased your tips at all at the National?
I don't know. I would say no. I think just like my
rapport. Is it damaged?
I don't think it's damaged. Okay. It's just like me being out there in
tip
general.
This kid.
So you're not giving us any credit for your tips. You're saying that you earned those tips all on
tip this guy.
Exactly. I will say I did meet Mike DePasquale the other day at the golf course. That was awesome.
Did he tip? Did he tip you?
His group tipped me.
There you go.
I know Mike takes care of his guys.
Now,
Mike's got this.
We gave this opportunity to intern Marissa. Would you like to give out your social media handles? Would you like more followers? Do you want, or are you not interested in that? Be honest.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. You can follow me on Instagram, Namdi Onyenike 13.
Right.
I'd probably have to spell that out for everyone.
Go ahead, please.
NNAMDIANYANIKE 13.
Onyenike.
Onyenike.
Okay.
That's perfect.
And so are you active on social media? What could someone expect if they follow you on the Instagram? I know there's been photo shoots involving you and Phil St. John and other people around town.
Here's Namdi with a shirtless man.
What's going on there?
That was a little trip to the Lake of the Ozarks.
There, see? That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
And one of your buddies got an old school Grizzlies jersey on here.
This dude's doing the deep dive.
Let's see here. Are you comfortable are you comfortable with Nate going through your Instagram account right now?
Maybe not on air, but
not on air.
I will always like posting like a nice little picture at the end of just like a little something funny.
Right.
So there you go. Oh look, they're already following in. Look at that.
There it is. See.
I love it.
Followers going up now.
And in your bio here it says Versace will never be the same again.
Yeah, it's just like the name of a song that I like and.
Right.
I don't even know what it means because you can't find it on Genius, the real meaning, but, you know, it's just kind of cool.
Okay, so now that we know more about it, so that's an Instagram, that's where you need to be followed. Snapchat, anything else? So basically, you're an IG guy.
I mean, I'm a Snapchat guy, but nobody cares what I'm posting on there.
Oh, people care, we found out.
Do you post pictures of the food you're eating anywhere? Is there some place I can get pictures of your food?
I have been posting
your eats or whatever.
Every time I'm at Jersey Mike's, I post that I'm there because I don't get it often. So when I come out here, I go to Jersey Mike's, get me a nice sub.
I'm going to send you to Schlotsky's, a wonderful sponsor of the show, and I'll get you hooked up right next
week.
Yeah, maybe we can
out.
Get Jersey Mike's to sponsor, you know, the segment with Namdi.
Hey, listen. We're trying to get you followers. You could be a star, booby. We're trying to get you on the big stage here in Kansas City. You could be the next big thing.
So that Elvis movie was good.
No, that was The Offer. Robert Evans from The Offer.
They bought it for $19,000.
$19,000. You got to do something with the script. The Godfather, huge book. I don't know what kind of movie it's going to make, Booby, but you got to make it a big movie because you're a star. Now, Namdi, you've worked feverishly on this NBA draft preview, and so now we're ready to listen to what you have to say. And tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, you know it, 810 is the radio home of the NBA draft. Yep. How late do you have to work?
See, last night I got out around like 8:45.
So tonight, maybe?
Yeah.
So then you can have the radio on and you can listen to the draft right here on 810. And then when you're driving home, you can hear it. See, that's what we're talking about.
No, that's perfect.
That's why you're interning here.
I'll be tuned in.
Okay, give us a preview. First, tell us what you're working on. What do you got there? So, people are waiting patiently.
I know. I'm so hyped for this because, like I was saying, I've been known to say that this is, in my opinion, going to be one of the better drafts in recent years, but one of my good buddies at KU, Carter McKinnon, he actually works for the basketball team. He reminded me this is the most college basketball we've probably watched in our whole lives, and that is true. So I know these prospects pretty well just from watching them. I even cut up a little bit of sound.
Wow.
You know, I was in the lab working. So
he
right
was in
now,
the lab working.
I was. And
that's what he was doing.
This top three, there's probably three number one guys is what we're seeing there. There are teams they love Chet Holmgreen at number one, but they have concerns with him.
Too muscle bound for him to move around.
Well, Brian Windhorst, he brings up a good point about, you know, not only Chet Holmgreen but all of these prospects.
Oh, Marco, my sleep of the wheel, Marco.
He's working on those throws, Marco.
That was a good throw.
That was a good throw. You want the Holmgren?
Yeah, the Brian Windhorst.
Hold on, time out. What are you doing in there? Now, what are you doing? Because you clearly weren't listening to the show. What were you doing? Now we have to see. Nate's thinks this is hilarious. Will you tell us what you were doing, Marco? Please share.
All the anxiety just left my body.
Were you on the phone?
His face is turning bright red right now.
What were you doing? Come on, tell us.
Texting about Obi-Wan.
There it is. Now, Marco, I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell my daughters.
What type of Jedi is Paolo Banchero?
I will take your phone away from you. Until 10 o'clock.
Don't what color lightsaber would Jabari Smith have?
Oh, Nate knows this.
This is fantastic.
Nate has had some of his devices taken away.
I've had them confiscated.
Show.
Marco, you're not alone. I've been chastised for
I'm just going to ask you, do I have to take it away from you? I'm glad. I'm very happy that you're very open and telling me what you were. Who are you texting with about Obi-Wan Kenobi?
My friend Terrell.
There it is.
What's up, Terrell?
You tell Terrell you'll get back to him at 10:01. That's all. Now you're ready. Or do you have? Would you like to finish your text about Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No.
Let's make sure.
No. There.
Would Jaden Ivey join the dark side?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Okay, let's
now you have my attention.
Do this again now. Okay, let's start again.
Yeah, I want you to compare each one of these draft prospects to a Jedi.
That would be a good column. My column. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so basically what Brian Windhorst was saying is that a lot of teams don't like Chet Holmgreen for his bulk, but it seems like there's just a lot of, like, no prospect is perfect in this draft. And Jordan Cornette from ESPN, this is why he believes that Chet Holmgren isn't the number one consensus pick.
I think that's what makes it so exciting, is that there's not a dead set number one. And as I look at, honestly, everyone says the draft gets interesting at four and there's a drop off. I see Keegan Murray at the fifth spot and think these are five guys that can change a franchise. So I think that there's, in a lot of ways, they're alluring in different ways, but they're hybrid guys. They're versatile pieces. They're gifted, unique set of skills that can be puzzle pieces and malleable to different franchises in those first five that need it. Chet Holmgren's at the top of that list. I think the biggest question mark with him is durability. We've seen body types like that. There's not a ton of muscle. His back is kind of concaved a little bit. You don't necessarily love the posture. Can that hold up? The toughness is in question because of his body. But, you know, one of the things about the draft that always is a misnomer to me, Amber and Courtney, is people always focus on what people can't do.
Yeah.
The He's kids got a concave
days.
Back.
Yeah, the kids these days, we call it, we're on his head. Is that what we call it? He is on his head for his concave back, which is something I haven't heard about Chet, but his frame is a little questionable. But it seems that Jay Billis and I, we both agree that, you know, there's three number one picks in this draft, but Jabari Smith, he's the number one guy.
I still lean toward Jabari Smith, just a touch. And but it's one of the most difficult decisions at number one that I can remember. And look, all three of those guys are going to be all-stars. And I think they're all worthy of the number one pick in most any year, but they're all in this draft. And you have to make a decision, or at least Orlando does. And I tend to lean to Jabari Smith because he's a great shooter. Shot 42% for three, made 79 threes on the year. Really good in the mid post. He can shoot off the catch or the dribble, and he's a really versatile defender. He can switch out and guard multiple spots.
Concave back is also a condition called sway back and saddleback, which is what they called me back at Mo West when I was a freshman. And I was not drafted, so.
So who you taking number one overall, Namdi? If you're if you're picking between these four guys, who are you taking number one?
So it depends. If I'm the Orlando Magic, I'm doing everything in my power to reunite Jalen Suggs with Chet Holmgreen. They played AAU together. They won two state championships together, and they almost played college ball together. They both played at Gonzaga. Chet even cited Suggs going to Gonzaga being the reason why he went there. I'm doing everything in my power to get these two guys together to kind of get Jalen Suggs back to form that we saw in the Final Four, how he played in the tournament, because he kind of had a lackluster season for the Magic. And I think bringing in Chet Holmgreen would not only boost morale, but kind of, you know, get this offense going.
Okay, so what about if we ask you just who's the best player in this draft? And 5 years from now, when we look back, who will be the best player out of this draft? Don't worry about the team matchup, just who's the best talent?
I think it's a toss-up between Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgreen. I'm really high on Chet Holmgreen. I've been defending myself because I've been high on him for a while, and people are like, you're an idiot for thinking that.
Your friends don't like him.
They don't like him. They hate him. They say Embiid is going to do things to him that shouldn't be televised on TV.
They think
Karl Anthony Towns is going to just throw him to the third section with one post move.
Unbelievable.
I don't think it's true. I think Chet Holmgreen is just like he's
– How good of a shooter is Chet?
He's an amazing shooter. He shoots it well.
Isn't the if you want to find a guy with a slight frame that was not very strong coming out of high school or coming out of college that became a great player, it's Kevin Durant, isn't it?
Right.
KD was, I mean, he's still really skinny.
He couldn't even do the bench press during the combine.
He couldn't bench press the bar, right? Yeah. And so if that
I feel like Chet Holmgren makes Kevin Durant look like Lou Ferrigno, though.
Well, he's a man now, you know, when he, you know, come, but is he at KD's level? Because KD's like one of the greatest shooters in the history of the game.
I don't think he has the same offensive instinct as KD, but if you just look at him, he still can, like, shoot at a very good clip. Who's going out to the perimeter and putting a hand in his face to actually contest a shot when he shoots?
Literally every seven-footer in the league, Giannis, Embiid.
But are they
going to
guard him that far up?
Of course, all those big guys can guard the perimeter now.
And then,
don't you think?
I think
you can't be a big guy that just stays down in the paint anymore. Those guys don't exist.
But I also think that Chet Holmgreen is very good at attacking the rim as well.
Yeah.
And can punish guys for maybe overplaying him.
Is he strong enough? Strong enough to attack the rim at this level?
Strong enough? I don't know. But
he's almost too strong, they say.
Under the right franchise, you know, get him eating.
Okay.
Get him on my diet.
Get him some of that food.
hook him up with me for about 6 months, and we'll get him going.
He'll be all right.
Okay, so I got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
And then you can, the two Kansas players that could be drafted in the first round tonight, Ochagbaji and Christian Brown.
Yep.
Okay, first of all, do you think they'll both go in the first round? Ochai for sure, but do you think Christian Brown will?
I think there's two teams in the first round that would draft him. Other than that, no. But
what two teams?
The Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors at the very end of the first round.
I've seen him mocked to Golden State a couple of times. Here I'm looking at the latest ESPN.com mock draft, and they have him going number 30 to the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, I think that would be a very good fit as well. I think they need to the Denver Nuggets needs to focus on getting some size behind Nikola Jokic because there's not much back there. So I think they might go a little bit bigger, but I think he would fit in decently well at Denver. I have them on my list of best fits for Christian Brown, as well as Miami. I think that would also be a very good fit.
Okay, and this latest mock draft has Ochai going number 14 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tell me some good fits for Ochai and where you think he goes in the first round.
So in my mock draft I have right here, I have him going one pick above at 13 to Charlotte, because they have two first-round picks, and I think if they don't get Mark Williams or Jalen Duren, then I think they're going to settle and take Ochai, which is a very good settle in my opinion. But I also think that that 14 pick is a very good landing spot, because it would fill out that he would fill out a really good role in Cleveland, that kind of culture that they're building there. They have a lot of long guards who can shoot the ball very well. But I also think that number 8 would be probably the highest Ochai goes, and maybe even the best fit at to New Orleans.
For Jared Sutton,
yeah,
our guy,
I think
Jared,
he might be grimacing at
that's
that.
Where I want him to go.
I would love for him to go there as well.
I want him to go there. Don't you want him to go there? Yeah. I mean, for Jared, how happy would Jared Sutton be, an Oak Park grad, to have another Oak Park grad in the organization, and a Kansas City kid go number 8 to the New Orleans Pelicans? And so that's what I'm rooting for. But you think that's
full
a possibility?
Circle.
That's
I think it's a possibility, but I don't think that's where it's going to happen. I think they're going to take someone else.
Okay, give me a player that you see that's projected to go in the first round that you think is going to be a bust, and you wouldn't touch. You don't want nothing to do with them.
I'm not too high on Malachi Branham from Ohio State. I mean, he's a very good scoring guard. I will say that he kind of shot up out of nowhere. I don't really have. I think he might just fall out of the lottery. He's projected to go lottery right now. I think he'll fall out. What I'm really not high on are really these like small guards who should have went back to college for another year that decided to keep their names.
Give me one
in the draft. Max Christie from Michigan State, who's actually been having some pretty good workouts. So maybe not him. I'll go with Peyton Watson from UCLA.
Okay.
He's a guy who could have benefited.
Give me a player that you were seeing mocked that you think is being mocked too low, that could end up being a star that's not going to go in the lottery, that should be going in the lottery. Someone that you really like, a draft crush that maybe won't go in the until the second round or the end of the first round. And don't say Christian Brown.
I won't say him.
You can't say him. And so just give me someone that is not getting enough credit in these mock drafts.
I'll go with Bryce McGowan's from Nebraska. I don't think Nebraska was the right school for him, and I believe he played on a blue blood or just a team that had a really like Michigan State, something like that. I feel like he'd be a top 15 pick because he's just a very explosive, very good scoring guard. He's not too like separate from some of these guys at the top. Like, they're kind of the same way, and I think he's projected to not even go in the first round, maybe going around the 40s, but he's very good. I would say him.
What do you think EJ Liddell goes, and what do you think of him as a NBA prospect?
EJ Liddell, he's a pretty cool prospect, but I'm not too. His frame is kind of wonky for the league right now. I don't think he's at like 6'7" power forward. I mean, it could fit on some teams, but I've seen 18 to the Bulls, and my roommate Noah, he's a big Bulls fan, and he's from the same town as EJ Liddell, so and he's kind of on the fence about him too, but. It would be interesting for him to go maybe around 18 or maybe even to that 30 spot to Denver. I feel like that would be a good fit for him.
And so my favorite player in the draft is Jaden Ivey. And so where does he go?
Okay, so in my mock draft that I've been concocting over the last couple of days, I've went back and forth on this, and originally I had him at number 4 going to the Sacramento Kings. But the problem is Sacramento has had this problem these last couple of years of overdrafting guards. They love drafting guards. There's too many cooks, and they ended up trading the best one, in my opinion, Tyrese Halliburton, to the Pacers, and he flourished. So I don't think they're going to make that mistake again. I think they're going to trade out of the number 4 pick. So I think Jaden Ivey stays there, but he's going to go to the New York Knicks, and Julius Randle will be headed to Sacramento Kings.
Oh, wow. Listen.
Yeah, that's my prediction tonight.
Deep. Okay.
He talked about
I love Jaden Ivey.
He would love to go to the Knicks is what it sounded like, which I haven't heard before.
Do you think whoever drafts Paolo Banchero will actually think they're drafting Patrick Mahomes by accident?
Maybe if they're at the sideline of a race car.
Where does he go?
I have him. I was just talking about this. I just saw like all the draft books boosted his odds to the number 1 pick, which kind of scared me. But I'm going with Chalk. I'm going number 3 to Houston.
Okay, any final comments on the NBA draft, that any nuggets you've unearthed during this preview that you've been preparing before we let you go, Namdi? A lot of people are depending on your information.
Let's see. I think Jaden Hardy is the last one out of the green room tonight. G League Ignite guy. He got a green room invite, but I don't think he's gonna go till very, very late. So it's gonna be kind of awkward him sitting there, hearing all these names go out. Best foreign prospect is probably Dyson Daniels from Australia. He played in the G League as well. I think he goes to the Portland Trailblazers at 7. And also this guy from France, his name's Usman Zhang, I'm pretty sure. That dude is he's a sniper. And another sniper that I've liked all year, Hyung Jung Lee. He's out of Davidson. That dude is raw. He's really good. But he just had a foot injury in one of his workouts, so he might slip out of the draft.
I like the fact that Namdi has described one prospect as wonky and another prospect as raw.
Dude,
this
raw.
Is the kind of preview that I was asking for. Namdi, before we let you go, and again, anything you've been giving us everything?
I mean, I got a whole mock draft here. I'll be posting it on my Instagram and Snapchat stories.
Okay, you don't want to give the whole mock draft on here. You just let people wet their beaks on this show, and then they can get the whole meal later. Tell people where they can see the mock draft. Give them your social media platforms before we let you go, and tell people where they can see the mock drafts.
I mean, you can check it on my Instagram story. I'll post it today after the show.
Handle again?
Namdi Anyanike, 13, N-N-A-M-D-I. A-N-Y-A-N-I-K-E 13. And all my Snapchat people, you know where to find me.
Well, I don't know where to find. Or do I? Do I follow
you? Are you one of the Snapchat people?
I can't remember.
You're not one of the Snapchat
people. Maybe. What is it? What's your snap?
Oh, what is it? I think it's just my name. Namdi Anyanike. So
okay,
same
we'll
thing.
Find it. All right. And then you'll post all the
I'll post it on there. And I want to give a shout out to all of my KU guys. Oh, also, there's a chance that I might show up on the Playmakers IG Live tonight doing a little draft preview. Depends on if I can get out of work early. My buddy's hosting a little show.
I mean, you need to stay at work. I don't think you need to get out of work early for this.
If I do get out of work early, I'll be on there for a little pre-draft. You can talk to some of my guys, Jackson and Jackson. I know they'll be on there.
Why don't you have Phil St. John cover for you so you can get out of work early? That's a possibility. Oh. But he wants to watch the NBA draft too, so he might be trying to get out of work early. Someone's got to work in the National, Namdi.
It's going to be me.
But what you could do is you can listen to the draft. We're at
810 right Radio.
That's right, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back after this. Back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati. Nate, introduce our next guest, our special guest in studio that we have right now.
Okay, so this is our Women's Sports Weekly segment. We've been trying to, at least once a week, shine a spotlight on women's sports or women in sports or both. And we have both here today. This is the general manager of the KC Current, Camille Levin Ashton. Camille, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So I'm looking at a couple of different articles about you, and so I find this fascinating. Okay, and so you worked with WWE as a talent development manager, and this is fascinating to me because I kind of grew up around professional wrestling because, it's a long story short, we had Central States Wrestling back when it was still, regional territories, and we'd have wrestling every Thursday night, and it was part of the NWA, and that's when Ric Flair was a champ. He'd come here, once every other month, and Harley Race, and a lot of, like, Shawn Michaels was developed here in Kansas City, and my dad made friends with a bunch of the different wrestlers, and so I had a chance. I remember I traveled around with Shawn Michaels and Mr. Magnificent Kevin Kelly, who became Nails in the WWE. And I'm like this 10, 11, 12-year-old kid. and I was fascinated by this world, right? So this, before we get into what you're doing now, that fascinates me. How did you end up with that position, and can you tell me what that experience was like?
Yeah, so when I retired from playing soccer myself, I knew I wanted to get into sports management, and I connected with my former boss, who was also a Stanford grad, Stanford alumni, and he was running all of talent development at WWE at the time, and he mentored me while I was transitioning out of playing myself and into my next career. And as I got to learn more about the WWE, about the opportunity, about the growth of the company, this position opened up. And essentially, I joined and was responsible for all recruitment of athletes into the WWE development system. WWE has a performance center out of Orlando, Florida. So everything sort of around that building, from managing the talent in the building to the operations and management of the staff and coaches, was sort of my role there. When you think, I guess at first, you think how different WWE world from the soccer world. But honestly, at the end of the day, it's you're managing athletes and working with athletes and coaches and staff that all share a common goal, that want to be the absolute best at what they're doing. And so there's a lot of parallel between the two, actually.
I remember I have a twin daughters, and I remember we were looking for a movie to rent, and we watched Fighting With My Family, the WWE movie. And it kind of goes behind the scenes and shows the, I know it's a movie, but still how different paths that wrestlers take and everything else. But, I mean, that's, again, I'm fascinated by this. When you would look for someone or trying to evaluate that talent, like you said, I mean, whether you're a wrestling fan or not, those are some of the most unbelievable athletes in the world. And they also have to have some type of, persona or that it factor.
Charisma.
And be able to handle
exactly.
Charisma and handle the microphone. What would you look for? Like, was there a certain thing like, okay, that person's got it, that person does it? Because it has to be that whole package, right?
Right, it is that whole package. And it was fascinating to me because I didn't know all that much about WWE before I started working there. And I just really, it was so impressive to me how talented the athletes were, both from a athlete standpoint and exactly that. They had to know how to act and be charismatic. And it wasn't one thing, like you're saying. It really is about the it factor, which is a hard thing to really explain what that is.
But you know when you see it.
You know when you see it. Yeah. And there were, a lot of very experienced wrestlers and staff that were all part of the evaluation process that really weighed in on their own experiences. And there was a group of about 10 of us that would sit and discuss.
Can you give us maybe a couple of, like, that you were responsible for, that you're most proud of, or somebody that you found, or a story where you were able to find a certain talent or a success story that you're
most
proud of?
No, I don't want to do it. No, not for me personally. It was such a group effort.
Right.
And, I think they've done a really good job there with the development system of bringing athletes, giving them opportunities once maybe their other sports careers came to an end. And, it's a great thing that they're doing there.
Okay, so then take us on the path from that point in your career to where you are now here in Kansas City with the Current.
Yeah, so when I stopped working for the WWE, I actually had moved back to California, where I'm from. I started working for a startup called Blueprint Sports that was involved in largely around the NIL space, working to provide opportunities to student athletes. And I was only there for about 4 months before I got introduced to Angie and Chris Long, the owners of KC Current. I, to be completely honest, I wasn't necessarily looking to make a change in my life. I was just settling back in my hometown, and I had seen on the periphery what KC Current was doing, what the Longs were doing here in women's soccer. And I obviously was drawn to that from afar, and then had the opportunity to speak to them, to come visit Kansas City, to see and feel everything that they were really doing here. And I was absolutely blown away. I they care so much about this. They believe in the sport. They believe in these players. And for me, being that soccer is my passion, being able to sort of bring everything together from my playing career to my professional work career, working for owners like them, honestly, and sharing a vision of wanting to be the absolute best. It was a dream job. And I looked at my husband. It was actually my fiance at the time. We just got married in February.
Congratulations.
And I was like, thank you. I was like, I think we're moving to Kansas City.
Now, be honest, what did he say when you said that? Was he like,
is he from Southern California too?
No, he's East Coast.
Okay.
What did he say?
He's from Connecticut, but spent a lot of time in New York. Honestly, he was like, let's do it.
Okay. Well, that's
he was like, let's go for it.
Not every spouse would say that.
No.
What did you just say?
It's a good partnership.
It's so interesting too. Another, I think, fascinating topic. We're here to talk about you more today, but maybe someday will you come back and explain NIL to us? Because we still can't figure that out. We try all the time, and it's so mind-boggling in the way it's changing college athletics, right? And like, so you only spent 4 months there, but wow, right?
Yeah, it's changing a fascinating space, right? Changing the landscape, and it's evolving every day. So I can bet that it's going to continue to change.
So there's a lot of themes that to me are getting kind of tied in here, to go back to the WWE thing a little bit. So I don't know if you know this part of the story, Stephen, when it comes to Chris and Angie Long, the owners of The Current.
They were the former tag team champions in the WWE.
Incredible, right? Yeah, incredible. First husband-wife tag team champs, I believe. But they have told the story about the reason that they decided to buy this team and invest in it, and the inspiration of it was they were in France during the World Cup in 2019 when the biggest watch parties in the entire world for the World Cup were in the Power and Light District. And I was the doofus on stage waving a flag around that I took from my front porch and had a sleeveless, obnoxious, patriotic T-shirt on that I bought online somewhere. And the reason I was doing all those things was honestly because Stephen and I, for our job, we get asked to go MC and host things on stage in the P&L from time to time. And I remember I don't know if you remember this conversation, Stephen, but Stephen was really good at it because he'd get up there and get the crowd all fired up. He could work the mic really well. And I was always like self-conscious in front of everybody like that. And I remember talking to you one time like, man, how are you so good at this? And he said, well, did you ever watch professional wrestling? Well, yeah, I used to watch all the time when I was a kid. He said, well, watch those guys. They're the best at working a crowd of anybody in sports entertainment. They know, like, people are here to be entertained. They're here to have some energy, and they're here to, you got to get into character. You got to lean into it, So I was like, well, if I'm going to host these watch parties, I'm going to be the most obnoxiously American guy I can be. And people love it.
He became Kurt Angle overnight all of a sudden.
Well, I was waving that, and the next thing you know, that stuff's all over television. And I mean, honest to God, the biggest reason we were doing those watch parties is because we were hoping that that would be another feather in our cap to get the World Cup here in 2026. Little did I know there would be two like financial giants in Kansas City watching this in France going, we got to get a women's team back in Kansas City and we can make a lot, we can make this thing a lot better. And I think that it ties into as well, like, okay, I'm an advocate for soccer. You're an advocate for soccer. It's a sport trying to grow. We need personalities. We need people. Being really good at soccer is part of it, but it's not always the most technically gifted wrestler that's the most popular, right? It's the most charismatic. It's the one that gets the crowd going, either good or bad. Sometimes it's the villain that gets everybody going. And I hope, are we going to do a good job of cultivating personalities? You know what I mean? Like, don't you think that's part of what we have to do, even though at the end of the day, the soccer is the most important thing? We got to get personalities out there, too, that people want to
sports entertainment.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And the production value of the WWE as well. My buddies that work in television production, they love watching professional wrestling because of the show. Because does anybody put on a better live show? You know what I mean? Like, do you think about those? Are there crossovers in what you can do in the NWSL that you learned from professional wrestling in that regard in terms of selling the game?
Yeah, I think ultimately you touched on it, right? We want to showcase the amazing athletes that we have on our team. share their stories, you know, help them create their own brands, as well as what we're doing for the team, but also on a personal level, because that's what, at the end of the day, people relate to. So I think that that's something that's really important for us.
So I want to go to this. You guys just had the groundbreaking on this training complex. How big of a deal is this? We're going to get to the stadium in a minute, but to have your own place for the players to train, that's like top of the line. How big of a deal is this in the world of women's soccer?
It is a huge deal. It is setting a standard for women's sports that hasn't been done before. I think that, you know, it goes back to ownership, believing in this, investing, understanding that this is what these players honestly deserve. And, you know, the hope is to create a home for our players, for our team. They should have everything they need to be successful and to keep pushing forward. And, you know, we hope that this really is setting a standard and continuing to push the game forward as a whole.
So you played all over the world as a professional player, Sweden, Norway, Australia, of course, the United States. Any other countries I'm missing that you played in professionally?
Italy as well.
Do you have any good, like, what were the facilities like? Maybe what were some, do you have a good story about, like, what it was that you had to sacrifice in order to chase your dream of being a professional soccer player compared to what you're seeing now?
Yeah, I can start it off with my senior year at Stanford. I was drafted in the former Professional Women's Soccer League here. And a few weeks before preseason was supposed to start, the league folded. And as an aspiring professional, the only real option to play at the highest level was to go overseas. So I finished my spring quarter at school and left the summer to go play overseas. And then the NWSL formed the following year. But I think it's really incredible. Honestly, I feel very lucky to have had the opportunity to play professional, even though, you know, there were a lot of growing pains during my time playing. It is so great to see where the game has gone just in, you know, 10 years, and makes me honestly so excited about where it's going. And having owners like Chris and Angie in this game is game changing for this sport.
What was your reaction when we all had a really good idea and good feeling about it, but what was your reaction when you saw World Cup, Kansas City, done deal?
I mean, I think it's something that, you know, being a smaller city, bringing a world event to Kansas City, it's not only going to do great things for the city, but it's also going to bring more eyes to our team, to the facilities that we're building, to the investment in sport. This city is such a sports city. And so it's just really, I think it's going to do so much for the city to bring that sort of event here.
So speaking of doing great things for the city, let's talk about the new stadium, right? And this is not very far from where I grew up in my neighborhood. And for so long, we would talk about that area and wonder, man, why can't we do something with this? Why can't we build up this area? It's such an eyesore, and there's so much possibilities. And slowly but surely, you've seen, you know, the surrounding areas build up. And now, like, so people are so excited about what this is going to bring to Kansas City, what this is going to bring to the, you know, the downtown area. Tell me a little bit about that and your excitement for the possibilities.
Yeah, you know, we're looking to have that ready in 2024. And I think for us, it's creating, again, a home for this team. This is for the women's team. This is not we will share it, but it is not, you know, we don't have to think about, okay, when is this available for games for this team?
You're the primary tenant. You're not sharing the building with someone else. Someone else will share it with you if they want to.
Exactly.
That's the thing, right?
Exactly. And a big change in women's sports. And I think ultimately we want to be create an environment where people want to be. So similar, you know, our facilities is we want players to want to be there. We want talent to want to be there. And for our stadium, we want fans to want to be there, not just, you know, not just come for a game and leave. We want them to have a full experience where they want to spend hours there enjoying themselves, being entertained, you know, right in downtown where it's going to be easily accessible to people. And we're so excited about that.
One of the things that I heard pointed out at the Kansas City Sports Commission awards when Chris was up talking was, you know, when you drive into town from the airport, it's going to be like the first thing you see as you kind of roll up on downtown is this stadium. How cool is that? You know, like that when people come from out of town to see this city, that's going to be one of the first things that they really see when they get into downtown.
It's amazing. We're all so excited about it. So,
again, we're visiting with Camille Levin Ashton, who is the general manager of the KC Current. They just opened ground or opened the facility on their new training facility. The stadium's going to be coming online here pretty soon as well. And, you know, we're trying to do this segment where we're profiling women's sports a little bit. This thing about representation, I think about a lot now. Steven's daughters are very active in sports. I coach my daughter's soccer team. And I try to communicate to the girls on my team, my daughter's team, all the time, how fortunate they are to be growing up in America right now. And the 50-year anniversary of Title IX is this year. And our friend Brenda Van Langen pointed out to me, you know, people talk about it in the sports landscape all the time, but it was an academic thing first that they realized after they went to court, hey, this applies to sports too. And then the NCAA, by the way, fought it for 10 years and didn't want to let women play sports. They finally did. But I tell the girls on my team, like, you have female role models that you can dream of being like when you grow up. Whereas when I was a kid, there wasn't even really college women's soccer quite yet. It was just kind of coming in when I got to college. How significant do you think that is? The fact that all the girls that are growing up as, you know, aspiring athletes, they have female professionals who are being treated the way they should in this town compared to maybe just even a generation ago.
I mean, it's so exciting, right, to think that there are now young girls and boys, honestly, that can watch what the players are doing, what the athletes are doing at a very high level and aspire to do the same and dream big and be able to look at women and do that. That's not always been the case. So it's really exciting. And I think, you know, with Title IX, it's, you have to be thankful and appreciative of all the work that's been done and all the steps that have been taken to get women's sports to where it is today. And there's still work to be done. But there's a lot of belief that will be achieved and that it is possible.
All right, getting back to the new training facility, I'm looking at a video here with a locker room and the film room and the kitchen and the player lounge and all these wonderful things. So as a former player, when you look at this, is there like one part of it that you love the most or like you've heard from, you know, player feedback or something you really think that separates it from other training facilities that have been built in this country?
I think it is the whole building, honestly, and what it means. It's so hard to specifically pinpoint one thing about it. Everything, every detail of this building was designed and decisions were made that were player first. So, you know, easy access to get treatment for the players from the locker room or to go get food, all the small details of the facility, the teal accents where they everywhere throughout the building. I think it, for me though, it's really what the building represents and that it is home for these players. And it's for them at the end of the day. And that's something that hasn't been done.
So speaking of home, how have you been getting acclimated to your new home here in Kansas City? What have you've been here for several months now. So what do you like so far? What do you think of the town?
I really like it. I say this all the time. I feel like I've moved around a lot in my life. And this has just been such an easy place to move to. The people are so warm here. Obviously sports crazy, which I love. And it's been such an easy move for me. I feel at home already, even after just a few months.
You liking the summer weather so far?
It's a little hot.
It's a lot hot. I've lived here my entire life, and I'm angry every morning when I wake up. So.
It went from winter to summer really quickly.
Real fast.
No, there's no spring here. Don't worry about that. Yeah. You'll get some fall, but there's no spring for you.
Yeah, you get like 3 days of spring, and they're not even strung together. I was in L.A. this weekend, and I was out there in that weather going, That's why it's so crowded out here. I get it. But glad you're liking it here. I'm curious because, you know, working with Sporting Kansas City, I talked to Peter Vermees about this a lot. They've obviously invested a lot in their facilities, and they were trendsetters in Major League Soccer in that regard. And Peter always talks about, look, we have to have a lot of things to sell here because the average soccer player from elsewhere in the world has never even heard of Kansas City, let alone have they ever dreamed of coming there. They want to go to L.A. or New York. There's so much more great domestic talent on the women's side, so maybe you don't have to recruit outside of the country as much. I don't know. But is it important? Like, how hard is it going to be to recruit players on the women's side to come play for the Current, and how much does it matter that, hey, look, we've got the best facilities of any team in the world? What's that landscape like on the women's side?
Yeah, I think, I mean, like I said, the facilities that have just been built for these players at KC Current, it's game-changing. There aren't other teams that have facilities like this, and that is a piece of what we are doing here, right? But ultimately, being able to tell our story, share our vision, show people the facilities and the investment that's being made, the culture that's being built. Your hope is that we have players here that right now that they want to be here. They don't want to go anywhere. And from a recruiting standpoint, that's the best recruiting you can do, is having people here that want to be here, and making sure that they're happy and getting what they need to be successful. And the facilities is obviously a piece of that.
What would your message be to fans out there that, you know, it's, hey, we all have to, we're competing for everyone's entertainment dollar. And like Nate said, this is such a great soccer town in Kansas City. It's unbelievable. And especially the youth soccer scene is through the roof here in Kansas City. And so there's a lot of excitement around the sport. But what's your message to fans about the Current, the organization, what you want it to be, and how is it going to represent Kansas City, and why people should come out and support the team?
Yeah, we want to entertain the fans, honestly. We want to win championships here. And I think, you know, if you haven't been out to a game yet, our next home game is July 17th against OL Reign, 6 p.m. at Children's Mercy Park. So I would say come give us a chance, because I can promise you won't be disappointed.
You guys have been good crowds. My family, I was out of town this weekend, but they were at the game this past weekend. The crowds have been pretty good.
Yeah,
so
they've
far
been
this
great.
Year.
We're,
yeah.
We really, I mean, are so appreciative of all the fan support for us that, you know, that's everything, right? It gives our team energy to go out there and do what they do.
You guys had some injuries at the beginning of the year to deal with, and I know that the results haven't been there exactly where you want it to be yet, but I think it's an exciting team to watch. How do you feel about the prospects for the summertime and the rest of the season?
Yeah, honestly, we've been on a roll the last several games here. A lot, you know, new staff, a lot of new mm-hmm. staff, I should say, new players. So
young team,
very young team. We have a lot of rookies that are contributing big minutes for us and have been doing fantastic. And we're just really, you know, we're proud of where we've come and where we are, and excited to continue growing.
All right, final question for you, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna go back to where we started. if you were still with the WWE, and this is a young athlete by the name of Nate Bucati shows up with his cutoff his cutoff shirt, waving a flag, would you have signed him? Would you have said, maybe this isn't for you, maybe a developmental contract? How would you have approached
I gotta give this guy, right?
You see, he's got charisma.
My resume here.
He's good. He's somewhat good on the mic. Would you have, would there been any
tell
interest
me to hit the
there?
Gym
you,
first
maybe,
if you're going to wear a sleeveless shirt?
I would have
like,
probably asked him to cut a promo.
And
then we'll see.
Okay, so maybe that's not a no. It's a maybe.
It's not a no.
It's a maybe to you. There's a maybe. How about that?
See, the crowd there. I mean, come on. You know, that's...
Maybe go to spend a year in the gym, come back and see me.
Yeah.
Let's
hit the weights
on
that. Right.
Okay, that's good. See, you got a maybe.
I think I'd be a good aerial tactician.
You could be a manager.
You know?
How about that?
Yeah, probably something like that.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much for spending time in studio with us. We appreciate it, and hopefully this won't be your last trip to see us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.
The Women's Sports Weekly Spotlight is presented by Margaritas. Turn your next backyard barbecue into a Mexican fiesta with Margaritas' award-winning Mexican food. Serving Kansas City for over 38 years, Margaritas offers the best catering for your small or large events. Go to margaritasamigos.com and place your order today.